Well, we can't stop talking about the smoke in the air because it's so often there of late and has become a regular feature of summer in the region and earlier this year anyway. We figure out ways to cope. We watch the air quality index numbers. We wear masks when things get really bad. We get out of town if we can. The Weather Service office in Medford even provides maps showing where you can escape the smoke, but most of us are stuck with it. And the standard question is, what's this doing to my lungs? For that, we turn to two people from the Jackson County Department of Health and Human Services. Jim Shames is Jackson County's medical director in our new studio for the first time. Welcome.
Glad to be here, Jeff.
And we also have with us Tanya Phillips, who's Jackson County's health promotion manager. Thank you for joining us as well, Tanya.
Thank you for letting me be here.
So let's start with some comparisons, if you have them at your fingertips, Jim, how this year compares to others. It seems, although we're in it now, and maybe that's the reason, it just seems like it's a bit more smoky than previous years.
Yeah. So probably Tanya can give us some real data, but I think what's so difficult about this year is just how long it's gone on. You know, we've always had a couple of bad days followed by, you know, a week or two of smoke. And this is just going on and on and on. And every day seems like it's worse than the next.
And so Tanya, do you have an idea what the trend has been? I mean, we watch every day, several times a day, and let people know, too, on the air about where things stand with unhealthy, very unhealthy, hazardous. Have we had a lot of days or have we had a lot of high days?
So I'd have to go back and look at that. I think what makes this year so different is that it started earlier. So the previous years, we seemed to hit that July 30th, August 1st. So, you know, with it starting earlier, it definitely has an impact, not only, I think, health-wise, but also, you know, our mental health. We enjoy our summers here.
We do, but that's a great point to bring up, though, is it seems like there's a certain level of cabin feverness or something else that comes in, and I wonder what kinds of things you offer in addition to the lung advice, which we will get to help people sort of cope with the mental effects of dealing with the ongoing smoke haze.
You know, I would definitely say with NOAA putting out information about where else we can travel in the state that has better air quality. You know, Southern Oregon, we love our outdoor activities, but all over Oregon we have those. So I think people are really appreciative that NOAA is putting out that information so you can escape to the coast, head up to Eugene, and I think that allows people to escape at least for a day or so.
NOAA being the parent agency mm-hmm. for the National Weather Service. So, yes, it's nice that the Weather Service puts that information out, which brings us to one of the other issues with why the smoke collects. I mean, there's an additional concern that right now in particular we have not just the smoke but the high heat, which must create some interesting choices for people who, for example, don't have air conditioning, don't want to open the windows mm-hmm. because they would let the smoke in, but it's really hot too. And what sorts of recommendations do you make there?
So the particulate matter in the air, the PM2.5s that can go all the way down into the small airways, definitely put a strain on your breathing. And for some people, those irritants can trigger asthma. And if you add to that in the vulnerable populations, the very young, the very old, the folks with pre-existing heart and lung disease, the heat, it really is a double whammy. People can sort of exhaust themselves really very quickly. So air conditioning both helps to bring the temperature down and also helps to some extent filter the air depending on the circumstances in the air conditioning. My recommendation would be if you know folks, either your neighbors or your loved ones who are in the situation you mentioned, you really should do all you can to keep an eye on them and perhaps invite them into your place if it's cooler and safer.
Jim Shames and Tanya Phillips are guests on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about smoke in the air. Jim Shames is Jackson County's medical director. Tanya Phillips, Jackson County's health promotion manager. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760. Share your stories about smoke and how you cope with it. 800-838-3760 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Back to what you were just saying about air conditioning, Jim, about to some extent it filters. It sounds like it is not necessarily a built-in feature of each and every air conditioner.
Right. So if you have an air conditioning system that can prevent you from pulling air in from the outside, so if you have a recirculating feature, you have a good quality filter that's been recently cleaned, you probably can do a pretty good job. Depends on how airtight your house is. Indoors is the best place to be. Indoors in a sealed house with a recirculating air conditioner is better. And, you know, a HEPA filtered or ion filtration unit in addition is better still in terms of keeping those small particles out of the air you breathe.
Have you ever watched when the filters are pulled out of those HEPA units? I'm just wondering what they look like after they've been pulling in the smoke for a couple of days.
I actually just replaced mine. I replace mine twice a year. Should probably do it more often, but they're black. It's
just really gnarly looking.
Yeah, I mean, they do a fairly decent job at creating a cleaner air environment inside, and I think that's the goal of what we want folks to have.
So then that, in essence, is what's collecting in our lungs if we're not around the filtration system. And you mentioned that the PM 2.5 particles get way down in there. I mean, are we talking about getting in and never getting out again?
No, that's not necessarily true, but they can get in and get into the bloodstream. And so these are irritants. So they irritate your throat, they irritate your eyes, they cause those little muscles around your alveoli in your lungs to get twitchy, which means it can be hard to breathe, and they can get into the bloodstream. So you now have irritating particles circulating around, going to your heart, your blood vessels, and it does increase your risk of cardiovascular events, arrhythmias, hypertension, strokes, heart attacks. And so the higher the concentration, the more prolonged the period of time, the more likely those incidents are to occur.
So it seems like any particle that's in your bloodstream that isn't actually making a contribution is actually stopping something else from being there. Is that one of the issues? Is just taking up space in your blood and not delivering oxygen or nutrients?
No, I don't think the volume is such that's really the concern. It's more the fact that what we now know about cardiovascular disease is that inflammation plays a major role in atherosclerosis, hypertension, arrhythmias, heart attacks. And to have an irritant in there is a contributing factor.
So speaking of irritants, I have wondered often about the eyes burning part of this. Is this because the smoke comes in contact with the eyes, or is it a response created in the eyes from stuff entering your breathing apparatus?
No, I think it's direct contact. Right. And it may not even be the PM 2.5s. That may be larger particles as well, ash and other things like that.
So what are the kinds of, I mean, is there a certain stepping down of activity we should be talking about here, Tanya Phillips, as the air gets worse? I mean, last night when it was into the hazardous zone, the dog needed a walk. I mean, it's what he has to do at night. And when I went out there, I noticed that I saw a car coming up the street, maybe a quarter of a mile away, and I thought it had the fog lights on, the yellow ones, and realized as it got closer, the yellow was just created by the smoke. It was that thick.
So when our air quality is at hazardous, the recommendation is not to be outside at all, to really remain inside. And unfortunately, I would say that would mean the dog doesn't get the walk. Yes, there's masks out there that can help, but at that point, your best bet and your best defense is just to stay inside, really avoid all exposure as possible.
So let's talk about the masks, because we have the masks that are the N95, and that's a rating delivered by NIOSH, the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health. And so what do these masks do that the standard, you know, I'm sanding a piece of wood mask don't give you?
Right. So standard surgical masks will take out large particles by, you know, dust and ash, things you can probably see. These are microscopic. They are smaller than a red blood cell, and you need a mask that is designed to filter out those sorts of things. That said, the mask needs to fit very well, because when you breathe with a tight mask, you're sucking air, and you can easily suck air around the edges. So my recommendation would be to get an N95 mask or a P100 mask. Go online and look at videos on how to fit test it, and then realize that, it's as good as it is. It's a benefit. It's also harder to breathe. I just wore a mask walking over here, and it's hard. You know, you're sucking in air and you're blowing out air, and it's not like regular breathing. So I think in a pinch, you have to be outside. You think you've got to figure it out. You got the right mask. You got to fit well, but I wouldn't be over-reliant upon it.
And you mentioned the P100 in addition to the N95 mask. What is the difference between those?
It's I don't think the difference between them really matters much. I think N95 is adequate. It's just that, you know, another alternative to you would be a P100 respirator.
We are talking about the Rogue Valley, and not just the Rogue Valley, but most of the valley's air quality around the region, which has suffered greatly from wildfire smoke. Dr. Jim Shames is Jackson County's medical director. Tanya Phillips is the health promotion manager for Jackson County. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Let us know how you've been coping with the smoke, what things work for you, and whether you've found some great place to go or some great practice to engage in that takes your mind or your body away from the smoke a bit. 800-838-3760 to get into the conversation by phone, by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org. Tanya Phillips, what kinds of things has the county done? Can the county do? Can any agency do to distribute masks for people who might not have easy access to them or might not be able to afford them?
Yeah, so I just want to add a couple things about the masks. So the NIOSH P100 and 95 masks aren't made for children. So that's one thing that we definitely see is younger kids wearing these, and they weren't created for kids. So just for parents to know that then if they put the mask on the kids, they may not really be getting any protection at all. When it comes to accessing the masks, pharmacies, hardware stores, you can purchase them online. I have heard that Ashland, there's certain community partners in Ashland that have handed the masks out. All Care and Jackson Care Connect, I have heard, have also been handing those masks out.
All right. So just keep your ears up for mask handouts, because they do come from time to time. And I'm glad you brought up the fact that they don't fit children, because I noticed somebody brought that up recently, that this is an issue for them. They wanted one for their dog as well, but clearly those aren't available.
Yeah. And I would say also with the masks is just making sure that people are wearing them properly so that they can get some benefits from them. Men with beards, they don't get that seal that Dr. Shames was talking about. So they may be getting less protection from the mask. And we really just encourage people who have those chronic health conditions, before they wear a mask, touch base with their doctor, make sure it's safe for them to wear them, because of that labored breathing can really make some of their chronic health conditions worse.
Grab the headphones, if you would, because we have some phone calls for you. Let's go to Alex in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Dr. Jim Shames and Tanya Phillips from Jackson County Health and Human Services. Hi, Alex. You have to turn them up.
The P100 mask, a suggestion, and get a response. You know, there is the issue of them being harder to breathe through, but if you want to go up one step, you can get the kind of masks that you see people using to spray paint cars, and you can get them with P100 cartridges on them. And because they have so much larger area and such a larger exhale valve, they're a lot easier to breathe. Of course, you go around looking like Darth Vader, but that seems to be a small price, and you can get them at Home Depot. Interestingly enough, I talked to the people at 3M, and this was the configuration they suggested for this situation. And they're at Home Depot. When you find them, they will be, the large print designates them as masks for lead removal, but if you read the fine print, they're for smoke removal, and they'll take out not just particles, but some of the volatile chemicals. And I'm wondering what your folks there think of those as a step up.
And Alex, the masks you're talking about are the ones with the big barrel things on either side of the mouth?
Right. Okay. Yeah, they're not the ones you're used to seeing that are rectangular and heavy. They're pink round ones, a lot lighter, and they're P100s. The actual model of the filters are called 3M 2097.
Right. 2097. Thanks for bringing this up, Alex. I very much appreciate it. So, Jim or Tanya? Tanya. So we have other options for masks. I mean, you can go up a little bit. You can upgrade a bit, it sounds like.
You know, I definitely think those are probably an option. I would want to check in with the EPA and CDC just around their guidance. So whatever we're recommending, we want to make sure that there's science to back it up as well.
Yeah, I've heard that those are advantageous. They're so expensive and a little harder to get, and you need to be sure, just like you said, you got the right cartridges. We, from a public health perspective, we're definitely focusing on masks that people can afford that are widely available.
And how much are the N95 or P100 masks? So that they're
anywhere from, you know, one to a couple of bucks.
Okay, I thought it was just a few, less than $5 generally, though.
Yeah.
All right, let's take another call from Robin in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Jim Shames and Tanya Phillips.
Thank you for taking my call. Just a quick a suggestion that works for me. And this is not so much about the masks, but about being stuck indoors without air conditioning and, of course, trying to suffer the heat. I have found that a cold, just sitting under, as cold as you can bear it, shower and certainly make sure that, you know, your entire head is behind, you know, below that shower, will cool you down. If you fill your tub with, let's say, as cold as you can stand it, and dip yourself in there every, 2 hours or every hour, however long the water stays cold, will cool your body down. Again, it seems to work for me, and certainly a suggestion for those people who don't have air conditioners and are stuck indoors. It works, and I hope some people will try that.
All right, thanks for that, Robin. Appreciate that. So, just from a physician standpoint, this seems like a way to cool yourself anyway.
Yeah, water and evaporation has been cooling people for millennia, and it's a good reminder. It's also a good reminder that not everybody has air conditioning, mm-hmm. and that's a very helpful suggestion, so thanks for that.
We do get warming centers in the winter and cooling centers on the hottest days of the summer. Are there breathing centers, Tanya Phillips, any places that are opening up that where people can just get a chance to exist in the filtered air at some point?
Not that I'm aware of in Jackson County. I know they had some set up because of the sheltering in Josephine County. When it comes to that, too, we recommend those public places, the library, the mall, places that people can escape and just get a moment's breath of cleaner air. Also with that, just to comment on the gentleman's comment, staying hydrated, drinking water not only helps, you know, when we have these high heats just from not causing dehydration, but it will also just those particles that get stuck in the throat will definitely help with that as well.
All right. So a few things you can do to sort of make yourself feel better, but more than anything else, it's just really waiting for the smoke to get out of here. It looks like it'll take a while. Tanya Phillips, Health Promotion Manager for Jackson County, Dr. Jim Shames, the Jackson County Medical Director. Thanks so much for joining us once again to talk about the smoke conditions in the region.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us, Jeff.